You're now tuned into the Fully Booked Podcast with Mace, French, and Pox. Enjoy the listen. Where to go? Tell me where to go. Use my inner voice. Tell me where to go. Tell me where to go. Welcome to the Fully Booked Podcast. You heard myself, Mace.
Myself, French.
And myself, Andrew.
And we're on season 19, people. Season 19. And we're reviewing the book, Never Split the Difference, by Chris Voss. French, well, go on.
All right, let's jump straight into it. Chapter 1, The New Rules. I'm just asking questions, I said. It's a passive-aggressive approach. I just ask the same three or four open-ended questions over and over and over. They get worn out answering and give me everything I want. And that's coming from the author, Chris Voss. Do you go into a conversation with a strategy to get what you want? And if so, what's your approach?
Depends. If I'm in work mode, then yeah. And like, if I'm in work mode, then yeah, there is a case for, I need to achieve X as an outcome. Like, I might be, obviously, not. So the industry I'm working in is construction-based. So you'll know that I might say, okay, I want them to put window restrictors into the development, but I don't want to pay for it. So that's the outcome I want. The strategy might be, okay, how can I make it look like a win-win for both of us? The win-win for me is obviously them going in at zero cost. What's the win-win for them? Okay, the win-win for them is, if there's no restrictors in, we're going to have people moving with young kids, and if there's an accident, sort of, if a two-year-old climbs out the window and dies or causes their death, in terms of
lawsuit,
but in terms of bad advertisement of their brand, who built the development? Why is there a window shift? So you approach it like that. It's in all of our best interest. So that's our, obviously, I would in the back of my mind be like, well, I have to install them anyway, have them installed, so I will have a budget for that, or I'll approach internally for a budget for that. But from the outset, in terms of negotiating, in terms of having that conversation, it will be based on, actually, it makes sense for both of us. So that's how I kind of approach that situation, that strategy. How can it be a win-win for both of us? Not I want or need this, and you need to do it. It's more, actually, it makes sense for both of us. Even, and I might not even mention the financial aspect or element. It might just be like, well, if you don't do it, this X might happen. It won't be a good outcome for neither of us.
Okay. Would you say that was taught, or was that learned through working in the field?
Working in the field. Oh, I sound better now.
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
I don't know.
No, 2 and 3 are mixed up. Okay.
Okay.
I just randomly pushed it up before. Let me just push it
up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we know.
Yeah. So what was I saying now? I was saying that, I think over experience has probably been picked up just with watching other people or from situations I might have had which are similar, not the exact same, but similar, where I haven't got what I wanted and I thought, how can I approach this a bit differently next time?
Yeah.
So I think it's more of a learn thing over time.
Trying to narrow.
Yeah, exactly that. And then experience from other people as well. Like, you might have a conversation with someone and they might say, have you thought about approaching it this way?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
What
do you know what? Sorry, that was well said. I was thinking about myself, and I guess my daily interactions probably, I mean, I guess they involve a lot of negotiation, but I think they're more simple negotiation. So at this moment in time, I have an issue with, in my car, as you know, the back seats, they require people to put the seatbelts on. So when it sounds off, I prompt people in some shape or form as to, you need to put your seatbelt on. Or I might not tell them they need to put their seatbelt on. I may say something such as, what do I say? The back seats have sensors as well. You know, as a prompt as to, okay, cool. Can you now put your seatbelt on? Sometimes people may go, do I need to put my seatbelt on? Which you'd think is a bit of an obvious, but I guess sometimes people kind of like repeat what you said, which is something I'm beginning to maybe understand over a period of time. I'm sure I do have a lot of negotiations during the day, but I don't think they're very, very difficult ones. I think it's just a case of, another negotiation as to maybe how they need to exit a vehicle, as to maybe vehicles coming on the right hand side or vehicles on the left hand side, or just understanding those things that they may miss.
So what's your strategy for telling them without them getting like upset or angry? How would you approach that? And do you know what, I think about something else as well. You gave a great example before in a previous season about getting what you wanted. Something to do with when you managed to claim back some expenses where your car needed cleaning, but then you claimed.
Yes.
That was, I can't remember what, you know what the outcome was, I can't remember how you strategized it, but yeah. Are you think you negotiate with the guy and the mechanics or whatever?
I can't remember that.
No, in the car wash, sorry.
That's a good example. But I mean, as to, I think I generally use a soft tone with riders, and I think the reason being is because, one, obviously, I don't think there's much to be achieved by being the aggressor, but I guess if you use a softer tone, I think they're more inclined to maybe listen to your instruction. I think there are maybe cases where I use stronger tones where there's immediate danger, such as if they do enter the vehicle and there's a car on the right-hand side, if I use a stronger tone, they'll understand, okay, cool.
Downward danger. Voice.
There's immediate danger, you know. But apart from that, I can't think of too many other things, you know. Just like even in general conversation, I think maybe to begin with, you may kind of like feed each other out and then begin to open up into maybe a wider conversation. So just as I was telling you on the way up, we're having a conversation. Also, I was having a conversation yesterday with four girls, and I think they must have seen some messages on my, well, one of them must have seen messages on my phone, and they wanted to pry into my, I don't say my business, but my social life maybe a little bit more. And I guess I kind of gave them the runaround as, I know, in fact, what did you say? You said I am, so what was the word? Almost like I reflected it, or
I mirrored it.
I mirrored it. So they go to me, oh, so who's, yeah, I'll say the name completely. So who's, and I was like, so who's the bouncer that you're going out with on Wednesday? So who's the bouncer you're going out with on Wednesday? Who's Ahmed? Who's these guys with these stripy t-shirts you're talking about? So I kind of like gave him the runaround before we became comfortable with each other and then opened up into a conversation. But it's mad because as you were talking, and I don't know, I'm not too sure whether I articulated this or even said this, I thought to myself, do you know what? I'm very easy in negotiation. All you got to say is, tell me, and I just open up and I just say.
Yeah, because I said they negotiated the information out of him because he was trying to get them the runaround, but they eventually got it. So that was their, that's what they wanted.
How did they get it? What was their strategy? Massage your ego or something?
Actually.
Oh, like those jets.
No. Funny enough, one of them, the one in the front seat, said, I think she asked me my age.
Man out here.
Yeah, I said I'm 37. I think she said I look good for 37.
What clue?
Yeah, she said I look good for 37. Or I look good for... Yeah, they all did. So maybe there was a bit of a massaging of ego, but I'm not too sure that's the reason.
You know it was, but you just don't know it.
No. I did anything. Thank you. But I don't think there's a reason why I gave them the information. I think
ego got stroked, and it's like I'm letting off everything.
There was nowhere I could go because every single one of them was like, "Okay, cool. Yeah, we told you. Yeah, the bouncer said he wants to take me out. Ahmed was just his other guy, and."
So they negotiated with you the information. So I'm going to give you some information and you give me some of your information.
True. Actually, yes. But within the information they gave me,
it wasn't what you wanted.
No, well, there wasn't much to it. It was like, it was just simple, you know, Ahmed asked my number. I gave him, I gave him my number, blah, blah, blah. That's the end of the story.
It's never the end.
It's never the end.
If I was in that car, I would have known everything.
You know he would have.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, actually, because I'm not really a good prober, as in like I don't, certainly off the bat, I don't have many questions, and I don't have many questions.
Follow up questions.
So that's a very good point. A very good point.
Cool. I think every conversation or every interaction is, going off from your point earlier, is a negotiation to some degree. Whether it's you're driving and you let someone in front of you, that's a negotiation. Mm-hmm. Whether you live in a house share or a family home and someone runs into the bathroom before you, or you've got to maybe have to negotiate, I'll be 5 minutes or whatever it may be. So your circumstance and who you may be talking to will determine your strategy. Like some strategies may determine a bit of a strong arming, like for example, if you want the price, if you're haggling with a plumber or someone or electrician or whoever it may be, and you've got to be firm to the point of, this is what I want, this is what I'm paying, take it or leave it, and it's in their best interest, obviously, for them to take it, because it's a sale, essentially, and they know that you can also go elsewhere, so depending on your leverage will determine, like, how you win, and these little negotiations, whether it's in the morning when you're going to work, or versus buying a new kitchen or whatever it may be. But yeah, I think there's always the different strategy to use with different people.
Do you find your you're ever acting in those situations?
What do you mean acting?
I know the question you're asking, whether you're not being yourself, essentially.
You're being a different version of yourself.
Okay, cool. It comes back to chameleon, mask, masculinity, all that.
Yeah, like you're a different version. Yeah. You're not pretending to be someone else. It's just like, if I need to be a bit more direct and aggressive, then that is a part of me that I will display. It doesn't mean that I'm that person all the time, all the day. Do you know what I mean?
Cool. So a good example would be, maybe with myself, is... Oh, so I've explained previously, I'm sure there are plenty of examples, but the one of two that comes to mind is when people are being rude and disrespectful. So I mentioned before, I think someone threw up in my car, and I think in the previous season, I might have mentioned the guy said, when his friend threw up, he said, and I said something to him, he goes, sorry.
I'm not Nostradamus
or something. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, he was pushing a lot of boundaries and everything. At that point, I'm not aggressive by nature, and I'm not a fighting person, etc., etc. But he put me in a situation where, well, I was angry, I was annoyed, but the idea that I wanted to, well, we didn't get into a fisticuff in any way, shape, or form, but I was like, no, I have to now put on, not an act, but I've now got to turn it on.
A show of force.
Yeah, to let him know that actually this is not going to go down the way he, well, certainly has initiated, you know what I mean? So I guess that might be a form of acting in some way, shape, or form.
So in my short stay, I realised that without deep understanding of human psychology, without the acceptance that we are all crazy, irrational, impulsive, emotionally driven animals, all the raw intelligence and mathematical logic in the world is little help in the thought shifting interplay between two people negotiating. That's on page 8. Is IQ or EQ more important in negotiations, and why?
I would say EQ, and I wish I hadn't, because I've read quite a bit of the book. I've read the book now, and I know what it speaks about. But if you had that question, ask that question about me without me reading the book, you could be one of the smartest people out there, because many people who are autistic are incredibly smart in some kind of field, but then in terms of the social setting, the social skills, the emotional skills, be able to converse. And navigate a conversation to a successful outcome, or just navigate a conversation in a way that you want to, wrong word, but manipulate the conversation, no chance. They got problems. You get what I'm saying? A lot of men in IT are like that, but I won't tell you. But basically, you need to have emotional intelligence. You need to be able to read body language, read tones of voice. You need to be able to read when, if you say something, you might push a boundary out. Like, just that guy said to you, I'm not Nostradamus, and that triggered you.
Yeah.
So you need to know what the trigger points are, when you can sense a trigger point, to be able to rein things back in, or if you can prod a bit further and request or ask for more.
Yeah.
And that all comes from emotional intelligence, gathering that intel, that data, as and when you're having that conversation, and picking apart certain things that are being said or not being said in that
case. So EQ for me. I'm going to say the same thing as well, as to, I think your IQ might open the door as to the way you articulate your information, funny enough, like ChatGPT stuff. But then I think your EQ is what's going to tip the balance as to whether you're going to get the so it's going to tip the balance as to the form of response, or how much you gain from the negotiation, as to how do I even articulate this? I think if you're strong in your EQ, then you're going to be able to extract a lot more, whereas if you're not, then you're going to get the very basics. So a good example would be, like, we're talking about those girls. So they said, you took my number, blah blah blah, and then we're going out on a date on next week or what have you. Not that I crumbled, but it was like, it was just, you know what I mean? There was no resistance. You're
sitting there like, oh, come on, Andrew.
There was no real resistance, you know what I mean? Whereas, I don't know, not to have in a bit more about me, but if there was a bit more resolve, there would have been more to probe on. There probably would have been more to probe on.
I know what my next question would have been straight away.
I know you would have said that.
No, I have a question straight away. But anyway,
go on.
That's for another season. I'll just be like, and how do you feel about going on that? Like,
I'll just add for more context.
Yeah, man.
Mm. Maybe, you know, for next time.
Yeah, for next time.
Alright. I should take in, I would have chosen EQ to just to, but there's no point me reiterating what you both said, but yeah. Hostage taking,
yeah,
and therefore hostage negotiating has existed since the dawn of recorded time. The Old Testament spins plenty of tales of Israelites and their enemies taking each other's citizens hostage as spoils of war. The Romans, for their part, used to force the princes of vassal states to send their sons to Rome for their education to ensure the continued loyalty of the princes. Is negotiating nature or nurture?
That's a good question. Is it nature? Do you?
Do you know what? I was listening to.
Might be nurture. Yeah, I'd say nurture. Just thinking about it, I'd say nurture.
I forgot his name.
When their man or them girls are like swimming to the egg, there's no negotiating. So I'm trying to get there, and you're in my way. But now, the only reason I'm saying nurture is because. Obviously, I'm not at that stage yet, but like when I look at little kids and toddlers, you often see parents that are like, "No shirt," or "No, you can't have that now. Dinner's coming soon. We've already had one. You can't have two." Do you get what I'm saying? Over time,
it's funny you should say that because, like, don't you think when you think of babies, as soon as they are aware of their crying, that signal brings their parents to them. So is that not like a negotiation in itself? Because I know if I give this action, I then get this reaction. Like, yeah. And they start to learn different ways of doing it. So they may cry at different times. They may just start crying for the sake of crying because they know if they start crying, then they're going to get the attention that they deserve.
I'm thinking about my little one, and you're spot on that. Like, he knows now. Like, they'll get to a point where I know he's starting to get hungry or something, but then he'll start. He's like, I'm telling you, so what he'll do, he'll wake up in the morning, because obviously when you wake up in the morning, or he's woken up in the morning, he hasn't been fed for quite a few hours yet. Like, more the time lapse between him being fed then is bigger than any other part of the day. So when he wakes up, he actually is not screaming or crying, he's muttering away for ages and ages. If someone gets up and walks past him and goes out the room, say you're going to the bathroom something, he'll start crying.
Okay.
He's like, nah, you can't walk into the room without taking me with you, because if you take me with you, then I'm kind of sure you're going to go in that room for me to get food. So then he'll start crying. He could be sitting there for like half an hour just chatting away. So if someone gets up and walks out, he'll cry. So that's a good point.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I wasn't torn. No, I'm a little bit torn now, because I think you've kind of said it's...
It is nature. There's an element of nature. I do think other parts of it are nurture as well. Like, because you might, it's not in some people. For instance, with bartering, when you go to like a market, some people it's not in them. Yeah. They've always just said that's the price point.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how they've grown. That's the price point. Like, do you know what I'm saying? No, honestly,
nurture. That would be nurture.
Yeah, if I go my other half somewhere. Like, even when it came to, so obviously we're having works done at the place, yeah? When it come to finalising those, she goes, I don't have to do it. Like, as in, like, when the price came in, she didn't want to pay, like, we didn't want to pay. I was like, oh, cool. Like, she don't know, even she wanted something done with the wardrobe or something. She's like, you mentioned the wardrobe, okay? You mentioned the wardrobe, because she doesn't want, it's not that she doesn't want conflict, but she just doesn't know how to structure the argument so that it doesn't come across as aggressive, probably. I know she'll just be like, this is what I want, like, just structure it so it's not aggressive and assertive.
Yeah, two great examples. I think it's just down to balance. And I guess in your line of work, not that I do or don't understand it, but I think based on the conversations we've had as to maybe your day, there is a lot of negotiation as to how you want things done, you know, because obviously you've got an aim and an objective that needs to be met. So, there has to be some form of negotiation in terms of push and pull. Yeah. Yeah, some of it is natural too, and some of it's, you know, I guess you've got to learn along the way. Tell me what's the problem.